Hello and welcome back to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Minona, and along with my wife Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word hand car washing business located on Highway 11W in Churchill, Tennessee in the Palace Shopping Center. And that business exists for the sole purpose of bringing forth these Verse by Verse Bible Teachings. The business is a means of income to support this ministry. And we are prayerfully delivering these messages in hopes that lives will be touched and that the children of God would be edified. We firmly believe that it is the entire counsel of God's word that needs to be delivered into God's people to fully and properly equip them to be servants of God and to be warriors for Christ. And I believe that God is raising up an army in these last days that are going to stand firm for the truth and be unwavering in the principles of God's word. And so as we get into scripture, we would like you to know that these verse by verse Bible sermons are delivered to you and they are free of charge, and you can listen to them in several different ways. One of them is to go to Wash and Word. Our location, we play them on 107.1 FM on a loop in the parking lot. We have a small radio transmitter that puts them out. And then we also air these messages at 8:30 a.m. Monday through Friday on WMCH 1260 a.m. And finally at the washandword.com, that's wash, the letter N, word.com. That is our website, and there you can download and listen to these messages. And also, you can find out everything you need to know about this ministry and about this business right there at washandword.com. All right, let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We're currently in the Gospel of John, finishing up chapter 13. And yes, in our last message, we ended talking about a very important scripture that it really applies and is helpful to every single Christian. That was Romans 12:12. Where we are encouraged to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And we looked at how it is possible to be joyful in hope and to be patient in our afflictions and to be faithful in our prayers. And remember, if God can trust you to handle a trial, if he trusts you enough to give you that trial, and remember, all trials and tribulations and temptations, these are all come from the Lord. They are allowed by God to equip us, to encourage us, to train us up, to exercise our faith. And if God trusts you enough to allow these things to happen to you, well, then you can trust God to carry you through them. And so getting back into our scripture, we're going to pick it up in verse 33. Jesus is speaking now, and he says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So, stopping there, what does Jesus want us to do? He wants us to love one another. But wait a minute, didn't he just say a new command I give you? I mean, since when is love a new command? It's not the command to love that is new, for that was instilled in us from the beginning of creation. But it's the love that is new. In other words, it's the kind of love that Jesus brought to the table. And one of the major themes of Christ's coming was to transfer the law that was given to Moses and transfer it into grace. That is, that people would want to obey the law based on the grace that they have been given, not based on any sort of rules that they needed to follow. And the major difference between being under law and being under grace is the motivation that inspires obedience. So the command to love isn't new. We were always told to love, but prior to Christ coming, the motivation for obedience, the motivation for love and the things of this nature was placed on the people in a law format, in an obligatory manner. And when grace came, Jesus is saying, the new law that I give you, the new command that I give you, is that you love out of the grace you have received. The law says to be obedient because of God's wrath, but grace says to be obedient because of God's great mercy. Now, this does not negate the fear of God that we should have, the reverent fear of the Lord. Just because we live in an age of grace and Jesus has brought us mercy, it doesn't mean we can just eliminate God's wrath and God's fearful obedience and the fear of God that we're supposed to have in a reverent manner. And nor does it imply that love was never in God's plan in the very beginning. It simply means that Jesus had come to fulfill the law and the prophets, this by his own admission. And the two, that is the law and the prophets, have converged in Christ, and a command of new love has been charged to us. A love that forgives. A love that is patient. A love that is enduring. A love that reflects upon how much we have received through the sacrifice of Christ. It is a love that leads to the John 10:10 life that we spoke about a few chapters ago. In John 10:10, Jesus says that I have come to give you life and to have it to the full. Remember that scripture? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. This full life that Jesus has come to give us comes through the new love that he is commanding us to do. The John 10:10 full life is a harmonial balance. Not hormonal. It is a harmonious. It's in harmony. It is a harmonious balance of your reverent fear of God, which was never to be negated, and the great abundant love of God. Do you see the difference? In the Old Testament, the law really emphasized a lot of the fear of God, the wrath of God, the punishment of God. There were countless examples of God demonstrating his judgment upon an unfaithful Israel. And in the New Testament, Jesus came, to fulfill that law, to fulfill those prophets, and to bring a new command of love. Not that love is a new command, but the manner in which this love is generated from, the genesis of a new love through Christ. A love that looks at what Jesus did for us and says, how can I now be uncompassionate towards my fellow man when I have been shown so much compassion? How can I be unmerciful to my brother or to my sister when I have been shown tremendous amounts of mercy? How is it I can be angry with my brother or sister when the Lord's anger was nailed to a cross? The new command is not love in and of itself, but a New Testament love coupled with, and this is important, it is coupled with the Old Testament love. And the two of them combined strike a perfect balance of fear and love. And you see, friends, we have entire I don't know, we'll call them denominations, but there are churches out there who solely teach from the New Testament. And their belief is that because Jesus came to abolish the law, which, by the way, is completely undoctrinal. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But they think that the Old Testament is outdated, that it is a law that was written for a a different generation. It was written to the Jews. And then when Jesus came, he completely revamped everything. And there are countless number of churches that preach only from the New Testament. And that's great, because in the New Testament, we are shown the tangible existence of God's love through Christ. We are shown so much mercy and grace in all of the examples we see in the book of Acts. And the New Testament brings forth a measure of God's love that is truly incredible, undescribable. And it is amazing the grace that we have been shown in the New Testament. I am so grateful that God did this the way he did it. But that does not mean the Old Testament becomes irrelevant. It doesn't mean that the Old Testament doesn't need to be taught in a verse-by-verse format. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to the New Testament. And if we get rid of the New Testament and focus solely on the Old Testament, then we are going to have an imbalanced view of God. We are going to have a view of God that is very judgmental, very wrath-oriented. And if we focus solely on the New Testament love of God, we're going to have an equally imbalanced view of God, one that is full of grace and full of mercy. And while both of these ends of the spectrum are true, to not put them both together is a virtual abomination. It is going to create an imbalance in your walk with the Lord. Today, our churches are filled with messages of blessings and peace and prosperity and the goodness of God. And there's nothing wrong with that, because all those things are true when we talk about God and we talk about the New Testament love that Jesus brought. But without the reverent fear of God's people, Christ is just a scapegoat for self-living. God's mercy through his great love equals... it equals a joy unexplainable. His mercy and his great love and his great forgiveness. But without that being checked by the wrath of God and the fearful reverency of God, we're going to keep on sinning. And that is why our church is filled with sinners who claim to be born-again Christians. And because of his great compassion through his love, we are spared. But that doesn't mean we can keep on sinning. And because of his great patience, through his love, his wrath is held off. But it doesn't mean that we can keep on sinning. And we have lost the reverent fear of God, and we have replaced it with a misconceived application of his love. There is little repentance and salvation demonstrated when only fear is presented. And there is little repentance and salvation when only love is presented. We need to strike the balance of the love of God and the fear of God. And to this we see Peter's response in 36a. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And again, I can almost see Jesus letting out a sigh and saying, "Peter, are you really focusing still on the temporal? Do you not get it after all these years, what I'm talking about? Do we really have to go down this road?" And so Jesus says, okay, well, here's the ugly truth. Verse 36, starting in the latter part of verse 36, Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." And Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Because I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." To that I say, ouch, for Peter. I mean, that's a pretty harsh statement coming from Jesus, but he asked for it. If he'd have just gotten off of his temporal mindset, he would have understood what Jesus was talking about. Again, we as humans are so self-consumed with, well, self. We're so focused on self that we often miss what God is trying to say to us. And if our focus is on self, then the spotlight is going to be on us as well. And if the spotlight is on us, then darkness will be revealed. Listen, the more we concern ourselves about the Lord's work, the more the refining fire will purify us. And friends, in order to win souls for Christ and show them the New Testament love of Jesus, we've got to focus on Christ and not on ourselves. And as we close this message, we look forward to coming back again tomorrow and starting in chapter 14. If you have any questions about this ministry, please go to washandword.com or come by the Wash and Word location and visit us if you have any questions. Have a blessed day.